listening to the Digital Strips Podcast, the first
and best
webcomics podcast on the planet. And yes, we found something in the woods with a sibling once, but the only change that came from it was our brother spending a lot more time in his bedroom. I am your host, and I am happy to be a giant robot cruising the skies and organizing rebellions against our despotic god queen in service of restoring a world I probably don't exist in. I am Jason, the Midnight Cartooner Sigler. With me as always, he is so bored with ruling, he's taken to crafting the perfect conditioner shampoo blend to tame that massive quaff atop his head. He is Steve, the Geek Shinny.
Sorry, the Playboy in the Woods line got me.
Not the, hey, I gave you hair?
I know it's fictional. All these intros are fictional. I'll never have hair. And I'll never be, I don't know, whatever you say I am next time. Or last time.
It's not true. There have been some. We really should do a supercut at some point. Maybe at like the next milestone. When we get to 800, we should do a supercut of like the last 100 shows of just the I'm a and he's a and just see all the things that we are now. It's like, oh yeah. I forgot he made me that.
That would be fun.
Yeah. So, what we are not is children causing trouble for everybody. But that is definitely what happens in our comic today. A Better Place, brought to us by Harry Bogosian. It is the biggest, hardest right turn from a storyline I've read in some time. So the setup is two siblings, Hannah and Theo, are playing in the woods. And as kids do, you know, they're out playing and they discover something cool, something new. It's like, ooh, mysterious. What is this? Oh, let's explore it together. And it's this like big stone. And so they start looking into it, and it opens up, and like it like opens a demon in the skies is what it looks like. Kind of, it reminds me of kind of like Stranger Things in that way. But they find that it's Hannah finds that it's basically a genie. She says, "You're a genie." And it's like, "I'm not a genie. I'm actually no. You have to give me a wish." It's like, "I will grant you one request." So you know, it's a genie, and so Hannah says, "I would like to be able to whatever I think of." I can create, like, anything I can think of, anything in the world, and I can create it, and boom, there it is. And it says, fine, done. And she's like, cool, awesome. And Theo, her brother, says, oh, I get a power too. So Theo comes up with the power of laser eyes, flight, and the power to explode. Because he's, you know, 7 or 8 or however old he is. And these are the kind of things you think of when you're a kid. Hannah goes a little above and is like, oh, I've thought about this before. I know what I want. And Theo, you know, just comes up with the three coolest powers that he can possibly think of off the top of his head. And then there we go. So they get these powers, and Hannah immediately creates a like God killing gun, basically, that is able to, of course, the genie creature, demon, whatever it is, says, like, you have no idea the power I have, child. Don't even think about it. And she's like, oh, no, I wasn't going to shoot you. And she shoots the rock, you know, which is the creature's connection to this world. And the last thing we see is it, like, screaming, like, oh, no, don't do that. And so Hannah has outsmarted this creature, it seems like. And we jump a century into the future, where Hannah is the god queen. And has remade the world. Sorry, glorious god leader Hannah. I don't want to get that wrong. I don't want to be thrown in prison or whatever. she has taken over. And she has recreated the entire world, all of Earth, in her image. And how she wants to. And we eventually re-meet Theo. We kind of find Theo. Theo has been... So it seems like Theo maybe... was getting too big for his britches, and Hannah decided, well, I have to shut you off into a prison, basically. So she uses what they call a subspace in this world to lock Theo into his house in a, like, a tight, like, I don't know, 10-minute loop that he just lives forever and ever. He's going to live that for the rest of his life. And this way he's happy, I guess, and never going to harm anybody. And, of course, he gets broken out of that eventually, and we're off with the story, but... Just the jump from kids played in the woods and, oh, they find something mysterious. What happens then? To the giant jump into futuristic world and Hannah is queen. It was so jarring. And so it really hooked me in this story very quickly because I was like, this is not what I was expecting at all. Even though the summation for the story literally says, like, Theo and Hannah are out playing in the woods one day when they discover a mysterious object, and Hannah uses it to change the world. And it's like, that's pretty much all you get. It's like, okay, let's read this. And man.
I did want to ask, like, how much you had read before you recommended it, because it is not the comic it starts out in the first 10 pages.
No. And to answer your question, one page. So that's what, okay, I thought it was. I thought maybe it was going to be like, not an anthology, but like these kids keep discovering things, and, you know, we keep having these stories that'll be like, oh, this is what Theo and Hannah do in this world. And then, nope, not at this point, at least. And I think it's a wrapped comic. I think it's completed. I did not get to that point. I am past page 100, I think, but I didn't get much further than that. And so I've read a lot of the story, and I love what I've read, with one big caveat. But yeah, no, I've really enjoyed it. What are your thoughts? I think you've read more than I have.
Yeah, I've read the first 200 chapters, which are pages, not chapters. Which gets you pretty far into the story. And yeah, this is one of those comics that is, it has got a lot of twists and turns baked into it. It's the way I summed it up was, it's like Evan Dom and John Allison got together and did acid and then made a comic out of it, because it is a very much a epic story. It follows the standard hero's journey, but it's full of twists and turns, and people are backstabbing each other, and there's all kinds of political machinations, and you're not really sure who the main bad guy is. The lore in this comic. This comic has lore up to its nipples. It is, and it's not all done in the comic. A lot of it is done through the descriptions, which is both good and bad. It's a great way to avoid doing lore dumps, having characters do something like, as you know, in our world, gravity holds us to the ground, and the color blue is hated by all. It's done even more creatively than just a standard, in my world, this that happens. It's all taken place, or it's all done through, like, artifacts of the world that you could find in the world, but the characters haven't. Like, there's bits from historians, there's hymns, there's excerpts from lectures and sermons and stuff like that. So it's really well done. But man, after I did not read all of it because I didn't have time. But if I wish I did, because it was some really cool stuff that makes you view the world a little differently than what you would just by the comic. So I don't know how much I'm missing out on. But the amount of times people not backstab, but like, it's a twist, a swerve, all kinds of things coming up is impressive. There's a lot of it. And it, yeah, the characters are, it's weird. It's hard to connect with all of them because most of them are not humans. In this future of Hannah's own creation, all humans are dead because she used her powers to destroy them because people were scared of a 10-year-old with the powers of a god. But they are also not dead. Like, the people, everything in her world, which is all these crazy creatures that a 10-year-old could come up with, have the mind of someone who lived before. They don't remember the world before. They only remember the world of their glorious god, Hannah. But that kind of changes the way you look at everything. And, you know, it's... you kind of see, like, oh, how a 10-year-old would view the world. Like, you know what would make it better? Is if everyone could level up, like in my video game. So everyone is going to level up, and no one's going to die permanently. Even if you just refuse to eat, you just slowly rot away, but you don't die. That's better, right? And, yeah, even 200 pages into it, I'm still not sure if Hannah is good or bad. Like, she's had some major realizations. She's fought back against those that are lying to her, but she's still, she's got such an innate desire to fix the world and think that there is a fix. The word fix is used a lot, and I think that's intentional. Her desire to fix is pretty much driving her insane. And that's powerful. There's a lot of powerful stuff going on in this comic, and it's really cool.
Yeah, a lot of the issues that you might see come up, like the video gamey stuff, is just like, oh, that's too video gamey. But you also then, it's a 10-year-old coming up with this world. Of course there's going to be elements of a video game. Like, there's so many comics and movies I watch and TV shows. Everything I see now, I swear, I'll turn to my wife and I'll be like, and this is where the level ends. Or, and this is where they level up. Or, this is where they get experience points. Like, it's so video gamey. It's just like, I can just, there's no need for a video game adaptation of this TV show, because I can see the video game in it. Like, I'm controlling it basically right now. This is at least meant to be like that. Like, when Nina at some point says, like, oh, I wish I could do that, but my HP is so low. I'm just like, what? Don't say that out loud. And then I'm like, oh, wait, you totally would, because a kid created you. And now, like you said, now that I know that you're literally an actual human person wrapped in this new character, just because Hannah said it should be so, makes it even more interesting and deep and dark. Like, there's just that, I think that adds this like sinister face to everything that happens in this world, is that, you know, this is a fallen world. Like, this is not, it also, I think, adds the element of that there will be a redemption at some point. Like, I totally imagine the end of the comic is, we zoom back to, they find a way to restore the world, and they just go back to when they were kids. And, you know, maybe they're back at the rock, and they're just like, what should we wish for? What should we do? And it's like, maybe let's just
a pizza.
Not do that this time.
Yeah, let's just get a pizza.
Yeah, that was what I, one of the first notes I took was, I mean, props to Hannah for being able to be like, I want a god gun so I can kill you and take over the world. I would have been hung up on, how do I get pizza rolls all the time forever? How can I not mess this up?
I don't want to turn into a pizza roll. I don't want the pizza roll to eat me. I just want a plain, normal pizza roll.
Yeah, basically. It's like, you gotta outsmart the genie, but it's all about pizza rolls. So that would have been me. But yeah, it's just, it's a really interesting world. Like, there's so many characters to meet. It is very Rice Boy and a world like that, where you do just constantly meet these characters, and some of them don't even get names, and it's like, okay, good, I don't need to know your name. I know that you're this weird character. You talk like you're in Alice in Wonderland, so I'm not supposed to understand you necessarily. Just, you know, give us the key for the next part of the quest, or let us continue on our way. When we first met Arma, that was my first impression of Arma, was like this, oh, stoic figure, and I will be the enforcer for Hannah, and I will not be moved, and you will not, I'll be emotionless. So I actually wrote that into the notes of, like, you know, does not let emotion get in the way. And then the next comic, he's like feeling for Nina. You know, he clearly has some feelings for her, or they're friendly at least. And so I was like, oh, never mind, totally erase that. Arma is extremely emotional, and that's probably why he's going to get into the trouble that he does. So, or it does, I guess. I shouldn't say he, but yeah, it's just, it the world is much more complex and has, you know, characters that have more emotions than just what a kid would make them have, which obviously Hannah, you know, set the world in motion, and then she's doing her own thing. Right now, in the part I'm at in the comic, she's trying to put rocket boosters on the Earth so it can now become a spaceship so she can shoot around the universe and fix other worlds like she did Earth. Because why wouldn't you? So that's like her mission. Like, she's just trying to figure out how to put these rocket boosters on there without, you know, breaking the Earth. And I mean, again, good job researching, I guess, the issue, but that's also the Empress computer and other creations that she's made that are, you know, helping her through this process. But in that, there's other pockets of, you know, that there's a rebellion over here that she doesn't know about because she's only one person and she can't, you know, create, I guess, enough surveillance to keep an eye on them and other. Yeah, it's just, it's a world teeming with life, and it's not necessarily created that way. I mean, it was created that way because Hannah made it so, but she's not like guiding it. It doesn't seem like, it's just like, oh, this world's just, I don't know, everybody's doing fine, I guess. If they're not, then boom, I'll wipe everything out and we'll start over.
I think one of my favorite ways that you kind of get how Hannah got to this space is the world that she has full and ultimate power. She can create everything she wants, but where she goes to be alone is just her bed with a million pillows. And I'm like, yes, that is what I would want. Like, eventually I would just end up surrounded in it by a sea of pillows. And that, like, you can tell, like, everything is weighing higher on her. Like, everyone looks at her as the all-powerful god because she is an all-powerful god. But she is still a child, and she has a childlike understanding of things. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. They do kind of address it later, why she hasn't grown in the last 100 years. And she does, where I'm at, spoilers, Jason, she does grow up. She chooses to view the world as an adult, and then she can. So, like, she chose to remain a child for so long, which is kind of cool. But yeah, it's the fact that it's a child, I think that's the most interesting concept in this whole comic, is unlimited power in a child. How does that change the world from if you or I had unlimited power? And yeah, it makes it important, makes it different.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a comic, like I said, I recommend it from the first page I read, and it seemed like it was going to be a totally different story than it is now. But it does such a great job with everything that it has become, and it's so much more interesting than anything I could have come up with myself, you know, based on that premise. It's like, okay, well, I know how this is going to go, so but it looks really good, so let's read that. And then the first three or four pages, it jumps, and it's just like, okay, let's go with this and see where it goes. And it's a wild ride, and it's full of really cool characters and awesome moments for those characters. And it's cliche to say so, but it just feels like one of those comics that just has a little bit of everything, and it just does it really well. The artwork, I haven't called out specifically, but it is extremely detailed and does great job with the action. When Nina's sister Tina comes to her rescue with this giant mech out of nowhere, she's like piloting to basically lead this rebellion that she's formed. That is, you know, awesome. And it kind of takes everything to a different scope than it was before, even though we know, you know, Hannah, God Queen, rules the world. But still, we are all in kind of dealing in these smaller spaces. And then that one kind of really opens it up. So. And even when, I was talking about the dark elements, you know, we do flashback at one point to, you know, what it was like right after Hannah got these powers and started trying to, you know, rule things. And, or at least, she didn't really know how to control the powers at first. And so the government decided to just nuke her. Like, literally, just a bomb just drops, and it's just a giant mushroom cloud. I'm like, oh my god. Like, they tried to work with her, but then when it wouldn't work, they just said, all right, nuke the child. And then it gets worse from there. I was like, okay, that's a direction, I guess. But yeah, I'm constantly shocked by this comic, and that's saying something given the kind of initial premise and the kind of the reveals, and like you said, the twists and turns, which I haven't even gotten as many of as you have at this point. But I am really excited to read the rest of this, and I hope there is a satisfying ending. Like I said, I'm pretty sure it's ended. So regardless of that, or if it ends, you know, sometime in the future, I really hope it gets a chance to wrap, because this is an amazing story. And it's highly recommended just based on the premise, and then the twist of that premise, and where it goes from there is just, it's kind of unlike anything I've ever read.
Yeah, it while it does feel familiar and like just the epic scope and the weird dreamlike landscape and everything, it also feels entirely fresh and new in that it asks questions that I don't think we've been asked and had to think about. So it's really cool, and it's definitely worth the time. You should definitely check it out.
Very much so. Check out A Better Place. I think right now we could all use a better place, and this one may or may not be that. It definitely seems like not right now, but go read it and you'll be in that better place for at least a time. Well, that will do it for this episode of Digital Strips. If you have any comments about anything we talked about in this episode or suggestions for future episodes, you can find us on Twitter. The show is at Digital Strips. I personally am at the Jason Sigler.
And I, all powerful godly, can be at found at Idaho Bo.
I'm gonna break out of this room and I'll shut him down, I promise you all. Or if you prefer, you can head on over to our website. That's digitalstrips.com. You can leave us a comment there in the show notes. You can also reach us by email. That email address is digitalstrips@gmail.com. We give special thanks to Chime and Adam Tell for our music, which is from their song Hole, W-H-O-L-E. You can find that song on YouTube, SoundCloud, and Spotify, along with many other great copyright-free songs. If you like this show, I have great news. We do another one. It's a show featuring two guys who have never met in real life, giving each other plenty of reasons to stick to that decision. And that show is called Then You Ruined It. You can find Then You Ruined It along with Digital Strips on pretty much any podcast platform you use. If that platform allows for reviews, please leave us those 5-star reviews. That will help our God Queen and her mood. And trust me, you wouldn't like our God Queen when she's angry.
Indeed.
It's kind of a She-Hulk reference, but not really.
Oh, yeah.
Well, until next time, for Digital Strips, I am Jason the Midnight Cartooner Sigler.
I continue to be Steve the Geek Shinny.
Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you in the fourth panel, where we try not to anger a 10-year-old. And I'm sorry, that's impossible.
Yeah, this probably hits a little too close to home sometimes.
Yes, like I'm just like, no, this world, we're done. Like, she would have rewritten this world 1,000 times, and, you know, every copy is worse because every copy is worse. And it just, yeah, there's no, it's a echo of what the world was before. And she just lives in it because, yo, she's got a bed made of pillows.
It's a brand new world. Everyone's a mermaid and kind of has two eyes that are not quite the same size because she hasn't quite got the proportions down yet, but she's getting there. Eventually we'll all look like manga characters.
You say eventually. I think the first version is all manga characters. That's all my daughter knows how to draw. Same pose. We are all getting the same eyes, y'all.
But is he so good? My eyes are huge!
I don't know about that, but they're going to be big, and they're going to be shiny. Stop 12.